You're listening to Wolfsbane Mazooza on Carousel Radio.
Wolfsbane Mazooza!
Carousel Radio.
You're listening to Carousel Radio.
Broadcasting a creative voice of people with a learning disability.
Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio!
Hello, my aqua friends, and welcome to another episode of Carousel Radio. It's the Sea King Jason here, and joining me today is my right-hand merman,
Joel Cooper, the aquatic knight with a trident.
And what's happening today?
Well, for this show, we will be hearing another radio diary in Sounds Like My Life, where neurodiverse people talk about the challenges and triumphs in their daily lives.
We also have music from F Witch.
Johnny Schachter returns with part two of his alternative history of the 20th century.
But first, we'll be making stuff up in Yumi and the Sea.
Carousel Radio!
Carousel Radio!
You are listening to Carousel Radio!
Carousel Radio!
Radio!
Radio.
The sea, the beach and coastline hold a special place in the human imagination. We wandered down to Brighton seafront to hear what was going on.
This story's cool. That one time
I saw.
Down he goes, into the ocean. What lies beneath? He doesn't know. He looks to the left. He looks to the right. All he can see is the blue.
At first, all there is the quiet. Then a sound. A rumble. It's close. It gets louder. It's fast. Or is it? He can't quite tell. It is moving. You can actually feel the water, the currents, pushing as it approaches. It's large. It's here. He turns. At first, nothing. Then, as though the ocean is a wall, it moves up and stops. An eye is staring.
He tries to gasp for breath, but is unable to do so as his lungs fill with seawater. Panic sets in as the sight in front of him. What animal is this large, staring coldly into my soul?
Who are you? A voice of calm enters his head. Not a calming voice, but a voice that is thoroughly unimpressed with the human in front of it. Not hostile, though. The diver, of course, is overcome. Water is still filling in his lungs, trying to figure out what to do, what to say. What do you say to something of such beyond incomprehensible scale?
The first thought that went through his mind as he tried to break to the surface. But his arms, they're frozen. He's stuck in place. His thoughts, as he stares at this creature. Communication. How to respond. He cannot speak, for he is underwater.
I ask again, who are you? A shadow appears from the water, approaching. A limb of some kind goes to the diver's head. Tap.
And then, yank, as he is jetted straight up. And then, he is gone.
We will return to the sea in the next episode.
Sea Facts!
Yeah, so Joel, today, my friends, we are talking about the starfish.
Ooh.
And my facts here. So the first one is, despite their name, starfish are not related to actual fish.
I mean, to be fair, as we all know, there's no such thing as a fish.
Yeah.
It's because the creatures under the ocean, in a evolutionary family tree sense, don't really have much to do with each other. It would be like saying all things with wings are birds, including, like, bats. But we've all agreed that bats are mammals.
Mm.
It's that kind of thing with fish. Like, we just collected all the things that are underwater and called that fish.
Like half of the stuff in the ocean is just reverting back to crab, isn't it?
Everything slowly evolves into crab.
Starfish don't have blood.
That I didn't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The most common amount of arms starfish have is 5, right?
Yeah.
But there have been known species to have up to 40 arms.
Damn.
So how long do you think a starfish lives for?
Ooh, okay. Because you've asked it as a question, I'm going to say it's going to be like a really long time. So I'm tempted to say they are potentially immortal.
No.
Okay, I'm going to say 30 years.
Very close, 35.
Damn.
Yeah. Starfish turn themselves inside out to eat food.
I did know that one, yep. Actually.
They can weigh up to 11 pounds.
I'm from the UK, so I don't know what that is.
Starfish don't have brains.
That I didn't know.
There are more than 2,000 species of starfish.
That I'm not surprised about.
Now, this one is where I want to really get you. Did you know that despite having arms, they also have feet?
Are we talking like sort of like suckers underneath them,
yes,
or something?
Yes. Do you know how many an average starfish has? And to make this interesting, if you get it right, you win a Satsuma.
Okay, he has actually just slammed a Satsuma down on the table.
So, Joel.
It's quite a thing.
How many feet does an average starfish have?
1.
No. The answer is 15,000. So, yeah, you lost the Satsuma, and that's our section on starfish.
One last thing. You said that they don't have a brain. That's incredible, considering in a previous episode we mentioned the octopus who has...
Damn it. Nine brains and 3 hearts.
Yes! He did it.
Ze are listening to Carousel Radio.
What I wanted to ask you, Joel, is how do you make a beach festive without using Christmas trees?
Oh, lights. Like, just bust out fairy lights, put them, like, on the... Ooh! What we could do is have, like, lines of fairy lights, or, like, LED lights...
Oh, yeah?
...down the beach, but then program it so that they kind of shift between white and blue. So, basically, on the sand, it looks like you have waves...
Yeah.
...going in and out.
And that would be cool. I would use basic palm trees. I would rig up a hammock in between the two...
Ooh.
...and fill that with presents. Then I would put a giant walking snow globe in the centre with a snow machine and an angel inside so you can just walk inside dense snow. And then I would have a burning campfire on the outside and with sticks on around. And instead of fish, it would be marshmallows.
Ah. The only thing I'm going to ask, though, is so what makes a Christmas tree a Christmas tree? Because
I would
the
say
problem is that
for,
you...
For me, a Christmas tree is designated as a fern tree, or more of a fern tree, with either lights, tinsel, and a star on top.
The reason why I ask that, of course, is you said palm trees, because you have associated a tree to Christmas now.
All I've done is hooked up a hammock, which is basically a tropical tree, and I'm using it as storage rather than sleeping.
You see, that's my issue. You've now put presents under these trees.
No, not under the tree. They're in the hammock.
Yeah, but that's under the tree. The palm tree's only, like, under refers to under the leaves, and they're under the palm leaves. Therefore, these are under the trees.
It's a tropical tree.
Which you're using for Christmas.
My definition of Christmas tree is a fern tree.
My definition is a tree you use for Christmas. And you've used this tree for Christmas.
So that was that. So we're moving on to when I'm Prime Minister. Up next, writer Johnny Schachter imagines how the 20th century would have been different if his father, Mel Schachter, had beaten Winston Churchill in the general election held in November 1940.
Hi, my name is Johnny Schachter. If Dr. Mel Schachter, Johnny Schachter's dad, was Prime Minister of England, by Johnny Schachter, it's all about history, or a perverse history.
Previously in If Mel Schachter Was Prime Minister.
Dr. Mel Schachter beats Winston Spencer Churchill in the national elections. Hitler dies from lung cancer. World War II never happened.
The story continues when Johnny's creative writing group time travels to the 1940s to help govern the country.
On February 6, 1942, he made a public announcement over the radio. I'm going to bring Johnny Shack's creative writing class at the Avondale back in time, and they will exist now in the 1940s. I have the scientific means to do this. I will make the service users in the creative writing class members of my cabinet. I have come to a decision to appoint the following: Killeen, Secretary of State; Juliet, Department of Education; James, Department of Foreign Affairs; Jolly, my son, he will provide the sandwiches. So, on February 8th, 1942, there is a whole new cabinet shuffle. They had lots of fun, food, and everybody was very happy. Mel would always say, "Let's eat." Then one day, something very strange happened. On March 1st, 1942, James blurted out, "I am tired of eating all day, Dr. Shaxter. I am fed up and annoyed. It is boring. I want to do something constructive. Let's invade Russia. Let's end the ways of that evil Joseph Stalin." Juliet pointed out, "Mary, my dear, eating all day is not constructive. Let's give Stalin the boot. Let's invade Russia. I agree with James." So the British invade the Kremlin, and police constable David Stamp passes the buck and says, "Sergeant Juliet, I am scared. I am terrified. Could you arrest Joseph Stalin for me?" Juliet replies, "Consider it done." So the creative writing class approach Stalin, and Juliet says, "You are under arrest for thinking you can get away with it. With anything, you nasty, evil man. Beware of the wrath of Juliet." Stalin cried and cried and fell to his knees. James said, "Do not think that you will get any sympathy from me. Arrest him." So Juliet handcuffs Stalin and they all go home. They all go back to England.
The trial of Stalin.
In the courtroom with Stalin, the creative writing class, Johnny, Dad, Killeen, and the judge. James blurts out,
"Feed him to the dogs."
James keeps insulting Stalin. Finally, Stalin shouts,
"I do not like these insults. I cannot stand it anymore. I would rather die than put up with this psychological abuse."
Killeen prods Juliet,
"Just tell the judge to put Stalin in jail and throw away the key."
So Bender sighs and says in Russian,
"We've decided that you get no trial. In fact, Mr. Stalin, you get nothing. Throw him into the bottomless pit."
So Dad takes the initiative and throws Stalin into the bottomless pit.
Ah!
Emmeline says,
"Well, that serves him right. He got what he deserved."
Now everybody is very happy.
That was part two of Johnny's story.
Carousel Radio.
Joel, this is going to be an interesting one, right?
You have my attention, sir.
You and me are part of the British government. We have just found out that werewolves exist.
Damn.
We are now part of an elite task force.
To date them?
No.
Oh.
To come up with a contingency plan in case they get out of hand.
Okay, so first things first, as I just implied earlier, I would be very pro-werewolf, and I would ask if any of them were around, call me. I can't afford silver, so you don't have nothing to fear from me. Like I say, I like an alpha male.
We don't want them to get out of control and overrun the country, so we need to make sure that they're sort of contained when the incident happens. Hey, that would be the full moon, wouldn't it? Is that once a month, or is it...
Long story short, the moon is roughly 28 days. In fact, there are times where you'll get two full moons in a month. Fun fact, that is what a blue moon is.
So let's go on the basis of the 28 days.
Yeah, so...
So every 28 days, we have to make sure that there's like one night where everybody is curfied. If we put a giant net over the sea, would that block up the moonlight? Would that be effective?
That'd be really big. So I'm actually trying to remember all my werewolf lore. Lore, L-O-R-E. I'm trying to convert werewolf lore to werewolf lore, L-O-R-E to L-A-W. So, okay, they can be killed with silver,
yes.
But they can also be wolfsbane. It's
right.
It's a herb.
Yeah.
That they hate. So if we could make making that more common. Okay. I'm gonna say a word that the exactly two Jews in the audience will understand. Mezuzah. That little box you have right next to your front door that usually just holds a small prayer. Well, either it holds a prayer for your house or it holds a little letter saying, help, I'm stuck at a mezuzah factory. But if we have that kind of thing, but we have wolfsbane in it to ward off werewolves on their approach. The only problem is you'll need that. You'll need to be replaced every so often, but yeah.
Do you think we should have werewolf daycare? So a room where they go in and they stay that entire night there.
Night there. I think that'd be a good idea for those who... Actually, yes. Like, you can just be there.
Yeah.
We'll throw you some offcuts from the butcher. Yeah.
We put him in a room for, like, I don't know, one night. Lock him in there to make sure they can't get out. And I give him some stuff to interact with to make sure they don't go crazy.
Here's a ball.
And maybe.
Here's a collar for walkies.
Lie down. Roll over.
Kill the weak.
And tonight on the Big Brother House...
No. It's no. It wouldn't be called Big Brother. It would be called The Goodest Boy.
This bachelorette gives you a doggy treat.
The winner gets a gold-plated bone. That's the worst show I would watch every episode of. I'll show you that.
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
And this episode, Wolfsbane Mezuzah.
Now it's time to hear from some real people in the real world in Sounds Like My Life. We ask people across the world to share the challenges and triumphs of their daily lives. In this episode, we'll be hearing from Sam, Susanna, and Stuart. First up, let's start by catching up with a singer from the Carousel Chorus, Susanna.
So I work in a cafe in Brighton for a charity called Team Dominica. I've found it challenging because the days are quite long and one of the members of staff are a bit tricky for me to work with, but overall I'm really enjoying my job. I love the customers. I love feeling like I've done something positive at the end of the day and going home and saying, yes, I've done that. And there's a Gales next door, which I love. So I did some filming with Kitty and she produces the Carousel TV project. We went to my local allotment, which I'm a member of. It's a community allotment. We all share the produce and it's shared equally. And I showed them around the allotment and I read one of my poems called Seeds. So all my poems were filmed outside and I really love being outside. I walked actually all day today pretty much, which is lovely. And I love walking in nature. So I have seen the finished product. It's beautiful. I really love the way it's kind of autumny colours because I love this time of year. And she's really captured the nature changing, definitely. And I feel definitely proud of it.
Thanks to Susanna and Lewis. Now, let's hear from Stuart in Worthing about his experiences about working in a video game shop.
I've had a lot of ups and downs with employment lately. I had a job at a video game shop where I was talking to customers and talking about different computer games that we had available at the shop. They were really good things about working there. Meeting new customers, making new friends at work. Everybody was really lovely there. And being more reassured in myself. Unfortunately, the shop had to close recently. I've got some good news. I'll be working at the Brighton Recovery Centre. They look after people who have mental health issues and making sure that we support them in being more happier in themselves. I'm hoping by the end of October I will be getting a job at the recovery centre. I'm looking forward to meeting new people and recognising what challenges they've got and how we can overcome that.
And leaving Stuart, let's catch up with Sam about his recent experiences at a friend's gig.
I went to a friend's gig, chatted to him a little bit when I got there. He talked about a holiday he had with some friends years ago, how it was the best time of his life. And I felt really sad about a trip I missed out on, a trip around Europe with some friends that I ended up not managing to go to in the end. So that was sad to have not gained that life experience and had that as part of my life. There was someone talking really loud and it just made me feel really uncomfortable, you know. hate that, and it makes me think I hate going out when I'm reminded of things like that, how loud some people can be, how it's in your face and feels aggressive, makes me feel tense. I was annoyed that my friend didn't introduce me to his friends that were there. They've also been quite loud, which is annoying, talking over the act that was performing at the time. Later on, when it came up in conversation, he did introduce me to his friends. Then it was nice, and we did talk together, and they were interested in me and got me involved in the conversation. I wanted to be able to talk and bond with people, but I didn't want to do that by drowning out the people performing. When I perform, I'm usually annoyed if people are talking loudly and drowning me out. It was interesting to be on the other side of that situation. The person who was on after my friend was very political in his stuff, and it was nice to see someone else being political in their songs. It can feel rare that people will talk about important stuff. One of my friend's friends was giving me a lot of attention. It was good to know that I could not only meet people and have friends from going out, but also attract women. It was interesting to see how it can be how when you don't try at all, that's when people find you the most attractive. I was glad that I got on with my friend's friend, and one of them said, let's stay in touch. We swapped contact details, and she said, let's arrange for us all to hang out again. When I was at home trying to sleep, I felt scared of death, which tends to happen when I drink too much. This hadn't happened to me in some time, and I noticed when it happened, it tended to be when I drank spirits, which is why I tend to just drink beer or cider when I'm out. I must have had more beers than I normally would when I'm out at that night. Luckily, it doesn't happen to me very often. It was just a mistake I made there by drinking too much.
Giving thanks to Sam, Susanna, and Stuart for their diaries.
Carousel Radio.
So, Joel, here's a thing for you. So you have £30 to spend on a joke.
Stop. Let's just enjoy. Damn, 30 whole pounds.
Yes, 30 whole pounds.
I haven't had 30 whole pounds to rub together in so pounds. Long. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
So the idea is you have to make a Christmas stocking with that £30.
Yeah.
But you have to give the stocking to your neighbour.
Okay, that's fine.
So what do you put in the stocking for £30?
So, I just want to make it clear that my neighbours are an absolute delight, but their dog hates me.
Ooh, okay. So will it be a stocking for the dog?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
That's the challenge.
Okay.
So the first one is just going to be something, like, I don't know, like a small ball or something. Just something in its mouth so it doesn't bark as it walks past me. That would be nice. If it's possible, find a way to like get a dog bowl that has like my scent in it. So it is that when it eats, it associates me with food and therefore it'll calm down.
Yeah.
But failing that, I would get a normal dog bowl with a compartment underneath and put one of my socks in it. The goal is the dog gets used to my scent.
Makes sense. What I have, and I actually took this from experience, so I actually did this. I also gift wrapped every single item in the stocking.
Ah, professional, professional. Yes.
So the first thing I did was I gave them a small teaspoon.
So like a coffee spoon. That is a real thing, by the way. I just want to point that out.
I gave them a small white mug. I gave them a saucer for the mug.
I know you're trying to say small, but I think this is just a coffee set, mate.
I gave them a bottle of water, 3 custard cream biscuits, a single tea bag, 2 sachets of sugar, a packet of powdered milk, and a letter containing instructions on how to make a proper cup of tea.
Was your neighbour someone who's just bad at making tea?
I have no idea. I just thought it'd be hilarious. One thing I do know is her husband found it funnier than I did. The only thing I couldn't find was one of those mini kettle things, which are for camping.
Oh, yeah, those
If
things.
I could have found one of those, I would have added it, no problem, if I had the budget for it. But yeah, that's actually something I generally did, and to the day, it's probably the funniest gift I've ever given.
It is pretty good.
So, the last Rock House included a performance by F-Witch, and from their LP, Ice Cream on Mondays, this is Strange Fruit.
Parlez-vous français?
That was Strange Fruit by F-Witch. The 7-track album is called Ice Cream on Mondays. You can listen to it or buy a digital download on Bandcamp. Visit f-witch.bandcamp.com. Once again, that is f-witch.bandcamp.com.
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
This is
news. Joel.
Jason.
I'm pretty sure you're aware, but Carousel TV is definitely a thing, right?
Episode 2 is out.
It is.
It's actually on the Carousel... What's our YouTube channel called again?
Carousel Art UK. One word?
Yes.
Scene 1, episode 1, take 1.
Action.
The second episode is out. There are several segments to note. Of course, the best segment is the very beginning at the very end, because guess who introduces and out-introduces the show? This guy.
And this guy.
We also have other segments. Mm-hmm. To be honest, one of my favorite segments currently is Charlie Hatton talking about buses.
He does a very good job.
He does.
Speaking of which, we actually have a story from Charlie, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do.
Cut.
Hello, I'm Charles Hatton, and I have written a poem called Backpack City. It's based on seeing junior aerial students' backpacks strewn across the floor of Burgess Hill Academy. With all the colours and all the bags lined up together, it looked like a city. So I decided to write a poem about it. It's with regards to John Cooper Clarke and the late great Dr. Seuss. Here's a place of colour so pretty. Pack your bags, punch your tickets for Backpack City. Your journey to this colourful destination starts off, as always, at baggage tag station. The train winds on down the track without fail. The next stop is Shopping Bag Dale. As we leave Shopping Bag Dale through the tunnel, we rocket. Next stop, Pocket Airport. Airport of Pockets. Planes flying left and right from Pocket Airport we go. The next stop is Suitcase on Sea, as you know. A few more stations whistle on by. Until one last colourful stop catches a passenger's eye. A sight so colourful, so vibrant and pretty. Can you guess where we are now?
All change for Backpack City.
Backpack City, we hope you enjoy your stay. On behalf of all at Backpack City, have a nice day.
Joel, breaking news.
What?
This show's come to an end.
Ah,
I know! But we've got a bunch of people to thank, so let's start off by thanking F-Witch. So thank you, F-Witch.
Thank you to Johnny Schachter.
Thank you to Charlie Hatton.
Thanks to Sam, Susanna and Stuart for their diaries.
Thank you, Joel.
Thank me, Joel. Thank you, CK.
Thank myself.
Thank you to our ever-suffering producer.
Yeah, where's our ice cream, dude? Ice cream on Mondays.
We'll be back with a new podcast in January next year, 2024.
Right, Joel. Do you want to give us the final word?
Yes.
This podcast is brought to you by Carousel, helping people with learning disabilities to reach their potential in the arts.